about what we saw when we were in the U.S. for 10 weeks. We're going to tell you some of the stories about Christmas in America. First of all, Christmas is everywhere. Every store, everybody, everything is decked out in Christmas. Here's some examples. Stores start selling Christmas stuff in August. There were Christmas trees, I swear to you, on 50% discount, no less, in August. Makes you wonder what you could have gotten them for last night. But Christmas music plays in the stores and on a lot of radio stations 24/7 starting the 1st of November. Christmas movies and cartoons are on TV the same amount of time, 24/7. Did you know that now there's even a station called the Hallmark Channel? Everybody know who Hallmark is? They're the people that make all those nice greeting cards, guys, that make you buy them at Valentine's Day and all those other times of the year. They actually now have a TV channel devoted to Christmas. Their tagline is the Hallmark Channel, where it's always winter, always Christmas. They made 33 new movies, new Christmas movies just this year alone, and started showing them October 27th. You get the idea? If you've never seen a Hallmark movie, guys, let me tell you, you are lucky. Women love these things. We found one yesterday afternoon, and I hate to say it, but I watched it with my wife. So this confirms everything I'm about to tell you about these movies, okay? Here's how it always goes. There is an accomplished city girl, parenthesis, she's a lawyer, a designer, fill in the blank, you get the idea. She's got an annoying boyfriend who's got a cell phone addiction, never has time for her, works too much, fill in the blank. She unexpectedly has to go out of town around Christmas, and she always goes to a small town in America, and there she finds her real true love, who is running a tree farm, cafe, ranch for troubled kids, fill in the blank. You get the idea. They fall for each other. She then questions her whole life. She tries to run away from the new guy, ends up coming back. They fall in love. They share a kiss. And then it snows. It always snows in these movies. Interesting enough, the whole time it's snowing, everybody is still smiling, and their hair and makeup never gets out of place. It's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. If you ever have experienced real winter any place, it's totally different. But anyway, in America, anything that can be covered in lights is covered in lights. There's a picture of a ladder. Just so you don't think that was the only thing we could have shown, I had other pictures that I saw of a tree-shaped object made out of car hubcaps, one made out of oil barrels, and my favorite of all was the pile of dirty laundry that somebody had just strung lights through it and said it was part of their Christmas decoration. Shopping malls in America were absolutely crazy. We were crazy enough to take the grandkids a few weeks ago to one of the malls to see some stuff. This is the motto of the U.S. at Christmas time for shopping. I'm heading down to the mall to push people and tear things out of their hands. Why wait till Black Friday? So you can go do that any day you want to. Marketing, for us marketers in the world, buzzwords are everywhere. Peace, joy, love, hope, all those good things that marketers love to use. The most common use of them all at Christmas time is believe. Isn't that pretty? But they don't answer the question. Believe in what? You know. Christmas in America. Marketers, as I mentioned, love Christmas, or at least parts of it. They put Frosty, Rudolph, Santa, and other characters in every advertisement, on every product, cup, or box that they can. And even here in Columbia, we got coffee at Dunkin' Donuts the other day. It was all full of Christmas stuff. And Who doesn't love at Christmas? What says Christmas more than the Coca-Cola polar bears? I mean, look. Yours for only $9.95 at the Coca-Cola World of Coke in Atlanta. So, or if you need a squeeze, come talk to me. They're 10 mil a piece after the service. So, and in case you're really wondering where America is headed, ladies, if you're still thinking about what do I need for that special guy in my life, I found the perfect Christmas gift that I want to share with you. You can buy this for your favorite guy. Yeah. The decline of America has begun. Anyway. Christmas in America is also gingerbread houses, train gardens, the zoo decorated in lights, trees, carolers, Christmas songs, timed to special effects by computers. We saw part of the Nutcracker ballet. We saw brightly colored gifts. People do try to be a little nicer at Christmas. They say nice things. They do nice things. They might even throw some spare change in the Salvation Army kettle as they walk by it. They may even hold the door open for a stranger at the mall. And all these things are really good things. There's nothing wrong with any of these. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But did you notice what's missing in all of these? What's missing is Jesus. As Pastor Andrew said last week, we're celebrating Christ Mass, the birth of Jesus, but you wouldn't know it by what I just showed you from the United States. Here's how Christmas is looked at in a lot of places. State University in New York told its students, keep decorations general, nonspecific to any religion. Create a winter theme with lights and colors rather than religious icons, or include decorations from all the cultural traditions represented. Okay. Public schools in the U.S. are now closed for 2 weeks for what they call winter break, where I guess we're going to celebrate cold and snow. I don't know what you celebrate if you live in Florida. Palm trees? No idea. But above all, on all these things, and there's a lot more examples than this, don't let it be argued or ever said that the birth of Christ has anything at all to do with Christmas. The overriding message in a lot of countries right now is, we love Christmas. Just don't bring Jesus into it. When you go to the stores in the States, and like I mentioned, some radio stations, you'll hear the same Christmas music played over and over and over again. Such great, wonderful, inspiring Christmas songs as Santa Baby, Feliz Navidad, which has one verse to it, I believe, A Holly Jolly Christmas, Jingle Bell Rock, Rockin' Round the Christmas Tree, and everybody's total all-time favorite, Last Christmas I Gave You My Heart, which repeats the same verse 8 times. How do I know that? I counted it one day sitting in the car. Yes, I need a life. Do you notice what, again, what's not in any of these songs? There's no Jesus. There's warm feelings, good times, Santa, reindeer, snowmen, tradition, love, carols, snow, family, gifts, friends, but there's no Jesus. We've replaced the gift of God's only Son with other stuff, stuff that we can manage. We can control it, and we can even return it if we don't like it. We can't manage Jesus like that. Let's look at another Christmas song that we use in the U.S., very popular. We use it with our kids. It's called Santa Claus is Coming to Town. You may have heard this one. Here's how I will not sing it, fortunately. Excuse me. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. So what's the message? Good behavior is rewarded. Bad behavior? You're on the list. You are on the list. Bad behavior is punished. Speaking of that, he's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. So Santa Claus is a judge. And he only works one day a year. So that means he's got 364 more days to sit there and judge you. So think about that. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. He's a spy. He works for the U.S. government. No, kidding, guys. Sorry, you embassy people, sorry. Sorry. What's the message we give to our kids? Kids, be good, because you should. Good behavior is what's expected and rewarded. Bad behavior is punished. Adults, we do the same thing. We tell ourselves, if I do enough good things, God will love me. God only likes those that are good. Right? Wrong. Absolutely wrong. A pastor asked kids at his church one Christmas Eve service, which Baxley will do tonight, I'm sure he's going to use this one. Kids, what's the difference between Jesus and Santa Claus? You've all had this deep theological discussion at home, I know, already this morning. One of the kids hanging onto his little blanket piped up and said, Jesus will forgive you, but Santa Claus never will. Friends, that's the difference. Santa is not in the forgiving business. Jesus is. Jesus knows we're not good and loves us anyway. Jesus knows we've all sinned and he came to die for us and came to die for a people that didn't love him back. Look at the words of Romans 3:23. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus knows that. And he knows, and what would we try to do as humans? We try to be the Santa Claus model. We try to do good. But look at what Isaiah says in Isaiah 64:6. All our righteousness is filthy rags. You ever thought about that? Use a rag around your house for cleaning up those projects that you don't want to talk about, cleaning up the mess when you paint your house. You've got all these rags. That's how our righteousness looks to God. Our righteousness is filthy rags. Jesus knows we're sinners in need of saving, and he did it, as we talked about in the Nicene Creed this morning. He came on that first Christmas to later go to a cross where he took the penalty for your sin and my sin, appeasing the wrath of God. The totally innocent took the wrath that we deserve, and he did it willingly. Look at what it says in Titus chapter 3. He saved us, not because of things we had done, of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. But that's just the beginning. On Easter Sunday, he rose from the dead. He went back to his heavenly Father, and by doing that, he defeated the pain, the sting, the grief of death. And because he rose again, and if we put our trust in Jesus, we have the promise that we will rise too. You see, Jesus will forgive your sins. That's the whole gospel right there. Unconditional love is the message of Christmas, and it makes all the difference. Don't be afraid, the angel says to the terrified shepherds watching over the flocks. Peace on earth has come among us. Goodwill to all men. Why? Because of some marketing buzzwords that we like to use at Christmas? No. Because Jesus came. Jesus brought all these things. Not because it's someday on a calendar. Not because it's a cool cultural celebration. Because of Jesus. So let's answer the question I asked you a while ago. What are we believing in this Christmas? That sign you saw that had believe on it was actually at a Christmas light exhibit that we saw at the Dallas Zoo, and its letters almost as tall as I am. But what are you believing in this Christmas? Are you basing your salvation on your deeds, your moral lifestyle, your acts of charity? If so, how do you know when you've done enough? How's there assurance of forgiveness when you're always thinking, am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Have I done enough? If I am, then God must love me in return. I'm certainly better than lots of other people. Look at all those sinners sitting around me. Boy, they need to be here at church this morning to hear this message. But I try. So God will give me credit for trying. Friends, that's called religion. I do good, so God owes me. Recently deceased theologian R.C. Sproul puts it this way: the only works of righteousness that serve to justify a sinner are the works of Christ. Our works count nothing. Puritan Jonathan Edwards said, we contribute nothing to our salvation except the sin that makes it necessary. God owes us nothing. We turned our backs on him in sin and act as if he doesn't exist, often until we get close to death. Then we expect him to forgive. One philosopher once said in answer to that idea, of course God will forgive my sins. That's his job. Friends, God will forgive your sins, but only if you're putting your trust in the sacrifice of his son Jesus on the cross. Put your trust in his righteous acts, not yours. Remember, our righteous acts are little more than filthy rags. So let's sum this up real quick, what we've been saying. Santa Claus, as good a guy as he may be, can't solve our worst problem. Jesus solved our worst problem, the sin that separates us and alienates us from God. Santa Claus can put some icing on the cake of life. He can bring you an Xbox 4 or PS10 or whatever those things are that kids like. But Santa can't take a shattered life and rebuild it with the hope of the gospel and the promise of eternal life. Only Jesus can do that. Santa's only around with us for one day a year, and then only if you're good. Jesus is with us every day, no matter how good or bad we are. And we all need to remember that this Christmas. Our main passage for this morning is this. It sums up what we've been talking about from the Bible in Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Friends, there's the gospel message right there. That's what Christmas is all about. It's not warm fuzzies and eggnog and fruitcake, and as good as all those things are, it's Jesus. It's the fact that we need a Savior. If we didn't need a Savior, we wouldn't have Christmas. Some capitalist might have invented it just so we could spend money in the end of December and go into debt. But the reason we're here is because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we can have those marketing buzzwords come alive. We can have hope, peace, joy, and love. Jesus is the reason for the season. Keep that in mind as you celebrate tonight with your friends and family. Remember, Christ came, and because of that, we can live forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for loving us so much that you sent him when we were indeed alienated. We were strangers and far from you, not worthy of your love. You came anyway. You sacrificed Christ on the cross, took the penalty for our sin, and made a way for eternal life. Father, we pray that in this Christmas season, in the craziness that we've made it through our culture and our countries, that we would remember to take time to think about Jesus, to remember that he's the reason that we live and have eternal life. Lord, help us to worship you this Christmas season. In your name we pray. Amen.